Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator.
You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you can listen to all of our podcasts. And we guarantee you that your sex life will improve when you listen to Sex with Emily. That's just how it happens, right, Menace?
Yes, it will.
I know. We love it.
Sorry. I'm using a different microphone today. So.
Oh, you are?
I'm
How's that adjusting. Going for you?
A little weird, but I can
okay.
handle it.
You can hang with it. Today's show, we have, if you're watching us, because as you know, you can watch our show, you can listen to our show, you can do lots of different things with our show. I have Carol Queen sitting here. And Carol Queen is a sexologist. She's a writer and a speaker. She's the staff sexologist at Good Vibrations, which is one of the most amazing stores that you've ever been to in San Francisco and Boston and now Oakland and Berkeley. And I feel like you've been a mentor to me. And the first time Carol was on the show was probably about 6 years ago, and I was nervous and still get a little nervous. She knows everything about everything.
Was that your kitchen table?
Yeah.
I think it was your kitchen table.
That was my kitchen table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I now feel like I know you. I've heard so much about you.
You have.
All
well,
the
she
time.
Was on the show
like,
when
all
we
the
were
time.
Live. Right.
Yeah. No,
She's
you talk
amazing.
About her all the time on
I know.
The show.
I do talk about you all
Thank
the time.
Thank you.
So
Emily.
I'm just so always so honored when you make the time to be on the show.
I'm so happy to be here.
And it's also, to be honest, a little easier for me because there's lots of questions that come in. We got emails. We got news. And she knows a lot about a lot of things, probably about everything. So we're going to have fun today. And we're just going to be talking about we're going to talk a little about anal sex. But we've got a lot of letters from listeners, emails. We've got sex in the news. Menace and I are going to catch up here on our weekend. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Did you?
No. Yes. I was at a Super Bowl party. I didn't actually watch it.
Yeah. You're one of those people that show up to the party and don't care about anything
that's going on. I was actually
on
my laptop the whole time. Did you watch it?
Yeah, of course I watched it.
Of course you did.
I really enjoyed the halftime show with Madonna.
Did you think it was good?
It was okay. The reason I really enjoyed it is because you probably didn't catch this, but MIA.
Oh.
MIA flipped off the camera.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Did you hear about
oh,
that?
My God.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm sure the FCC is going to have a field day
again,
with that.
Why would
again.
She flip off the camera? Why do that?
Because I don't know if you know anything about MIA, but she really doesn't give an F about anything.
Right, right, right.
She's really...
She's like, here's my one opportunity.
And
F you, America. Dumb.
I don't know. But anything like
that
happens...
No, I get that she's, you know, out there and trying to her message, but she's young and it's probably just a stupid thing.
Yeah,
to do.
And what sucks is when stuff like that happens, like what should it happen with, you know, Janet Jackson, for some reason with the FCC, radio just becomes the whipping boy. Like even though that happened on television... The regulations that come down after that is just so hardcore onto radio.
I know. Well, radio's tough.
Yeah.
When we used to be live on the radio, we did our masturbation show. We couldn't say masturbation more than 15 times.
Yeah.
I mean, more than once every 15 minutes. So then we had to use all the euphemisms for masturbation, which is actually kind of fun. We're like,
fortunately, there are many of them.
There are many. We're like, so when you were bopping your baloney, like, but yeah, there are so many regulations. We're lucky we don't have that now. We can do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah, masturbation, masturbation, masturbation.
Exactly.
And it sucks is because I was the guy that was controlling all that stuff, and I had to hit the button to censor it, and she would lose her mind. I'm like, this is the time.
I wasn't good at it.
At all. She'd be like, what do you mean you can't say blowjob? I can't
say.
And then I'll be like, and then I would hit the button and she goes, what? You can't say blowjob? She'll say it again. I have to hit the button.
Those are good times, Menace.
It took years off of my life.
Well, the thing is, though, I think it's good for people to remember out in listener land that we really do live in a country that tweaks out about these kinds of things.
And you have to
every once in a while, a little reminder.
Right? Isn't it called like page 8 or something like that in Europe where it's just a regular newspaper and then on the 8th page there's this pornography or there's,
naked ladies
and stuff.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably. That doesn't surprise me.
No, I think
it is. No, we're just,
Well, over here, oh my God.
We're just a country of conflicts.
The Golden Gate Bridge would fall down and, everything would crumble around us if there was a nude woman in the newspaper.
I know, exactly. The thing I got to talk about real quickly, though, is that we're kicking off. Carol Queen, is so great that you're here because you're kicking off our Valentine's Day 2 weeks, basically, or not even 2 weeks now. We've got like 10 days, right? We're having a huge Valentine's Spread the Love contest. And to celebrate, we're giving away baskets of premium toys and products as grand prizes, as well as smaller prizes, so you can get the most out of Valentine's Day and night. And there are two ways to enter. You can enter as many times as you wish. First, you follow us on Twitter or Facebook, Sex with Emily. And all you have to do, so simple, is retweet us or reshare our posts. And the more you do that, the more times you get entered to win. And Good Vibrations is just, an amazing box of stuff from them to give away.
Camilla knows how to do it.
Camilla, it's like these beautiful Valentine's Day baskets. And my entire office is sex toys right now that we are giving away. So you got to do to enter. We just want you to retweet and reshare and do all that stuff and we'll pick a winner.
And that way, great toys. Yeah. No matter what your Valentine's Day looks like partner-wise, you can still have a lovely, sexy Valentine's Day. I think that's quite fabulous.
We should talk about that, too, because it's true that Valentine's Day, so what if you don't have a partner? It doesn't mean, you don't have anything to do. Love yourself. Have some fun.
Love the one you're with, people.
Love the one you're with.
You can get all the information at sexwithemily.com.
Oh, it's at sexwithemily.com. Exactly. We have a banner up now that says Valentine's Day giveaway.
What?
Which would have been easier than me explaining it is what you're saying, Menace.
No,
you're
just
trying to say it's all there.
People might not have a pen on hand to get all the information.
They don't have a pen. How was your mom? I need to know.
It was cool. It was cool hanging out with my mom over the weekend.
Yeah.
We went back to our hometown in the Bay Area, which is Newark, California. And she went off and hung out with her friends. And I drove around my town and it was kind of depressing.
Yeah.
Because none of my friends stayed there.
Right.
Unlike you say, in Michigan, a lot of your friends stayed there and got married.
Yeah.
My friends just up and left. Hooked. They're all over the country. And it was just, okay, I drove around my neighborhood really quick. It's not that big, and nothing really after that. So luckily, I called some friends that were outside the area. And it's funny because I get to see how suburban life is when you do that.
Right.
And what
boring
people do on a Saturday.
It's terrible.
And they all just hang out in a house and just drink and go crazy.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
They drink in their house. I thought they go to the malls and watch movies.
It was beautiful weather outside. Right. So everyone were just out on the patio.
Oh, so they were outside drinking. They weren't inside drinking.
All the stuff.
It's better if it's sunny. At least if you're going to be drinking all day and it's sunny, you should be outside.
And this guy whose house we're at, he's a doctor. And apparently I met this guy before, and maybe when I was intoxicated because I have no idea who he was.
Right?
But he knew who I was. And he's like, oh, man, come on. Come out here. And we go out to his garage, and he has this souped up Porsche. It's like a $140,000 Porsche, right? This crazy fast. And he's like, "Here, man, you want to drive it?" I'm like, "Nah, I'm cool." And he's like, "Come on, let's take a ride." And I'm like, "I didn't really want to." Next thing you know, we're out on the street going over 100 plus miles an hour, and I drive like a grandma, so I'm like crapping my pants the entire time. Like, why do guys do that?
You're a dude. I don't know.
I'm just not into that.
You're not into the fast speed.
Are you impressed by that?
No,
as a female?
No.
Or do you know females that are impressed by guys that are driving 100? 1,000 miles an hour.
That scares the crap out of me too.
I thought I was gonna die.
People have a little fetish for speed. Actually,
yeah, they
there's
do.
There's like the physical sensation for them is exciting, in a way that can merge into erotically exciting, which I guess is where the dates come from.
Yeah.
Or end up or something with fast cars as a chick magnet.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There are a lot of chicks. I'm not into the guy with the car or whatever. I've never been that kind of girl, but I could see that being like a total aphrodisiac for some woman, right?
Not me.
Not you, honey.
I was totally flaccid during that whole car trip. I didn't like it.
Was your mom with you there at the car
trip?
No,
no,
I don't get it. You dumped her. She was seeing friends. Okay.
So I was hanging out with some of my friends. And so that's what happened to me over the weekend. But can I go to something really quick?
Yes.
I heard you talking about before we started the show was the antique vibrator.
Yes.
Thing. I actually, we were hanging out there not too long ago.
At Good Vibrations.
Good Vibrations.
When I was doing the kissing workshop.
Yeah, that was on
Polk Street.
Polk Street. I took a picture of the. It says antique vibrator.
Right.
Museum on the door. I took a picture of that, and it was very popular online.
I am so glad to hear that because actually it won't be. Good Vibes already has our antique vibrator museum, which is in almost all of our stores.
Okay.
Several shelves of antique vibrators are on display. But sometimes people want like more of a museum just
right.
than that. And so that is in the works right now.
I love that.
Sweet.
Got
what
a new
is
little
an antique
logo.
Vibrator? I feel like I have some antique vibrators, but they're probably not really.
No.
Well,
no,
I want to say that those of us who are over, you know, some age,
right.
some of our first vibrators, if they still are extant, might be antiques by now. Certainly mine.
Right.
Because, in fact, my first vibrator was an antique because I stole it from my parents' hall closet.
Oh.
And it was made at the latest in the early 1950s, possibly
wow.
earlier.
Wow.
And because my dad was a barber in the early 1950s, and they used to go,
right.
would you give you a little head massage,
okay.
the guys, mm-hmm. with these Swedish massagers that go on the back of your hand, strap
wow.
on there, and then make your whole hand vibrate. So that was my first
How
vibrator.
Did you know just to do that?
I read an article in, I believe it was Mademoiselle.
Okay.
I think that's the magazine it was in 1973, featuring Betty Dodson. Talking about vibrators, the earliest
right.
one like that there was. I stumbled upon it. I was like, I think that thing down in the hall closet might be a vibrator. Because, you know, as a kid,
right.
I looked all over.
Right, right.
I was about, I was maybe 14
okay.
when I grabbed it. And they never asked for it back.
No,
which is super
God.
Sad. Well,
right.
thank God, but also super sad because that probably means that they had not discovered its charms.
Right, exactly.
Because if my orgasm machine went missing from the hall closet.
Right.
If I had any kids, I would interrogate the kids immediately.
Exactly.
Like after checking to see if the house had been broken into.
Right,
I would
exactly.
go interrogate the kids.
Exactly.
But no.
Well, they didn't know. They never. Most people
Evidently.
Don't think like that. Right.
Evidently.
Yeah. Some of the stuff that I saw looked medieval.
Not quite.
Medieval times.
But.
or like early. Like it looks like you
early
guys.
Early 20th century.
Yeah, it looked like you were recovering it from the 1906 earthquake.
What kind of things
could,
are
could have been, as a matter of fact.
What
yeah.
are the antique vibrators? What do they look like?
Okay, so, well, they. If you can imagine what a drill would have looked like in 1905 without a drill bit.
Just okay.
Or a hair dryer would have looked like in 1905. And then you put a little round ball on the end.
Okay.
That's kind of what the really old ones tend to look like.
Yeah, they definitely look like a
You hold them
hair
in
dryer.
Your hand. It has kind of a little protruding nose. There's usually a ball or a disc on the end. And vibrators were used in the late 19th century, electric vibrators, and before that, hand crank ones.
Okay.
Crazy, like your great grandma's thing that she whipped cream with in the kitchen
right.
in the 1950s, like that. Were used on women who had been diagnosed with hysteria.
Right.
To treat their hysteria with hysterical paroxysms of relief.
Right.
Also
right.
known as, well, that was a good orgasm.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And it did them a lot of good, and it made a lot of doctors, I think, fairly wealthy, probably, because you had to come back every week or so, right?
Oh,
or else
yeah.
you would feel
I'd come
lousy
back every day.
Again.
Exactly.
And after a while, vibrators began, they were available in the home. You could get them
right.
through the mail order catalogs of all kinds. It was never, they were never talked about sex. They
right.
talked about health.
Right.
But the kind of health that you could get from them in many cases involved clitoral stimulation. So if that's sex,
right,
or if it's not, whatever, that kind of health. And it wasn't until the 1920s or so when they started showing up in blue movies.
Right.
That the jig was up, and about a decade later, doctors kind of stopped using them in their offices.
Oh, they were so disappointed.
In 1952, they voted hysteria out of the medical
books.
They did. They said it is no longer a disease, and hysteria had been considered a disease since at least the time of Galen.
Wow.
The great Greek physician before the Common Era.
So why do they rule it a hysteria for women? I've read about that so many times. I've heard about it. But why do they just said that it doesn't, they just need an orgasm. They just...
Well, that would imply that women had sexual needs comparable to men. And
right.
That wasn't believed.
Right. Okay.
And nor was it supported in general. I mean, almost certainly some of these doctors knew that it was an orgasm. And it looks likely that some of these doctors did not know that it was an orgasm.
Probably
not a ton of information about this. But, you know, if the doctors were writing up their notes, they weren't writing, gave her a big old orgasm.
Right, right, that's right. Exactly.
Right? So it's not totally clear at a certain – I mean, hysteria was a well-established diagnosis. There was a point in the Enlightenment era when a major European doctor and thinker said – 75% of all cases of illness in the Western world are attributable to hysteria. I mean, they totally believed in it.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, 1952, boom, it's gone. There's no such thing anymore.
Wow, that's crazy.
Was there any, like, brands that were...
Brands of vibrators?
That came out, like, you would think, oh, you know, Mitsubishi had one, like, in 1930. But, like, you know, name brands that
the
we
brand,
would
have been...
Well, Hitachi, right?
Hitachi, we began to get access to Hitachi magic wands, very, very similar to the Hitachi right. that we know now. Pretty much the exact same thing.
The same
in the 60s, Hitachi, same people who make rice cookers, earth movers, and your television. Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Hitachi Corporation, same one. Yes, absolutely.
No way.
The big Japanese corporation, Hitachi. Love them.
Love.
And to answer your question, Menace, mm-hmm. Hamilton Beach, one of the first big companies manufacturing electric goods that threw down with vibrators right around the turn of the 20th century. Many of the antique vibrators, if you go dig around on eBay and you either look at vintage or antique vibrator or massager or Quack Medical. That's where you find them. And because if, of course, they did away with the disease,
right.
then anything mm-hmm. that cured it or treated it would not be a legitimate medical item anymore. You'll find bunches of Hamilton Beach. There were several other companies early in the 20th century too, but that's one that we all, you know, we've seen a kitchen appliance with that name on
right,
it, almost
exactly.
all of us.
So when's the Good Vibrations Museum going to be open?
I don't know exactly, but it'll be within a couple of months.
Okay,
it'll be this spring sometime, and it's very exciting. You know, we just opened a store in
Oaklandia.
That
was a crazy party. That was so great.
That was dense. And we had Candy Burris from Real right. Housewives of Atlanta.
Candy Burris.
Or Hotlanta, as some people like to call it.
Yes.
And people came out to see her.
Oh, my God. I drove up and I was like, there. I could
line.
Not believe lying around the corner.
Crazy.
Thank God I'm pressed. I would not have gotten in. I was like, seriously? I could not believe it. I was so happy. Candy was on our show the day before. She was great.
I heard she was
and
wonderful.
And I got one of her. I got one of her vibrators. One of her. They gave me at the store the lipstick,
which is perfect because those vibrators are connected up with your source of music.
Exactly.
You can plug them into your MP3
it's like
player,
the
your iPhone,
is their
or your Oh My Bot, or the people who are actually making it. And then Candy designed a bunch new styles of vibrator to go with that interface, which nobody else does.
I think it's going to do really well. I'm very excited about that. That was a fun party.
You love the one that looks like a compact, right?
Yeah, that was a cool one.
Yeah.
It looks like you're powdering your face.
Yeah.
Because it also, you can put it over your hand. It has that
mm-hmm.
the hand strap in a different way. I kind of liked it. I thought that was cool.
Kind of like my original vibrator back in...
Because I was going to say
1906,
when
but...
you were describing your original vibrator, I was thinking of Candy's... hand puff.
The
vibrator.
Style is called Swedish massager when it straps on the hand.
Oh,
although
okay,
Candy
good.
Is not Swedish. Do
No. We know that, but still. Okay, should we move on to a little bit of sex in the news? I just got a little bit today.
Yeah, go for it.
I didn't know if there was anything, Menace. One of these you actually sent to me. San Francisco called best city to find a date.
Awesome.
I read the title and I sent it to you right away.
I know. Never Fear, San Francisco was deemed the best dating city in the country by dating site HowAboutWe.com. The site pairs singles by finding good matches between their proposed first date ideas rather than their personal profiles. San Francisco ranked first, mainly because singles who proposed dates in the city saw a 20% higher response rate than any other U.S. city.
Because people are not dating. They're just hooking up on that.
Now, I don't know. How about we? They're proposing. People who propose their dates in the city. So I don't know. You think maybe they're hooking up, but it's still a date's a date. Who are you to say?
Okay, I guess so. I mean, I think when I think of a date, I don't think of just like hooking up. I think of like, you know.
Like going out to dinner.
Yeah, going out
that.
To dinner. That's a date.
I don't know. It doesn't say that. It does not say dates. You're extrapolating.
How about we is just like Grindr where they go, okay, you want to hook up? We'll hook up. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's good news for people who complain that every city they live, everywhere people go, they complain that it's the worst city date in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, LA. So we find out that we actually are a good city. This should be uplifting. This should be good news. We should raise the flags.
This also implies that if you have a creative idea for a date, you could actually set yourself out from the crowd a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, creative ideas. They're not a dime a dozen. So
no, they're
good.
Not.
So good for that.
Have you heard any good creative date ideas lately?
Well, there are so many things to do. I mean, if you feel like hooking up with someone, you can go to interesting places to do that.
Right.
So that would be a variant.
Mm-hmm.
You could mash this idea up.
Right.
And, you know, and a lot of that would be sort of exhibitionism tinged as well, of course.
Right.
Let's go do it on the Golden Gate Bridge. Or
right.
I'm sure that stops traffic. I suppose I shouldn't recommend that.
Right, don't recommend that.
And when
something.
I talk about exhibitionism, I always want to remind people to do it consensually, namely not in front of people who would be freaked out.
Right.
Because those are the people who write to the FCC and want to get MIA, et cetera, in trouble when they do or, you know.
I
whether
know,
Janet Jackson wanted to have the nipple malfunction or not.
She did.
The nipple ring malfunction.
Right.
Clearly, it brought those people out of the woodwork. And if they were not bothered all the time, perhaps they would stay in the woodwork and enjoy themselves doing whatever they like to do and let those of us who want to go fool around in the Golden Gate Bridge do it.
But
those people need to have sex. The ones that are so uptight like
exactly.
that. Or they probably – they do. They always come out as they're the ones that are like – like super crazy sex addicts, the ones that are so anti-sex.
Exactly.
Because they're worried about being triggered. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, that's an interesting theory.
Yes.
Perhaps. Mm. Perhaps.
It's true.
You know, I had a theory called calling people absexuals, absexual, who didn't want anything to do with his terrible pornography and homosexuality and everything else, but who can't stop talking about
right.
it. Can't stop.
Because they're the ones who are probably repressing. They're probably the ones who are watching, right?
Argument to be made for that, although testing this is really, really hard.
What is testing it? Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, you can't just do a double-blind study of stuff like
There's
that.
There's not a lot of control factors. But you understand that it usually is like the Republican who is going, you know, ever, you know, knocking down anti, you know, or gay legislation is usually the one who's, you know, was in the bathroom with the
with the other guy
getting his whatever. Okay, so MIA flips finger during halftime show. I didn't see it. I wasn't really paying attention. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it right when it happened.
She went like that? Like for how long? Like
really quick. And then they try to blur it out.
Big deal.
But, oh, yeah. Madonna, she kind of slid. But I still, I mean, she wasn't the best dancer on there. But there was still some things that she did was kind of risky. She like moves to do like she did
flipped
like this
over.
Yeah cartwheels and stuff like that. I get she always did risky stuff like that.
Right.
Like
yeah.
I remember during the MTV movie where she was I don't know what you call it but kind of like a geisha but she looked like an English geisha or whatever the way that she was she was dressed up but she did some she did a trick on there that I will never forget. She had one of those fans and she flipped the fan in midair. And caught it again.
Wow.
I go, that's pretty risky. The flip a fan like that and then be able to catch it right away.
That is good.
On
she was
national
being flipped
television.
All around
yeah.
and she was like on the bleachers and 6-inch heels. I mean, you know, it was fun to watch.
Yeah, it was pretty
She
cool.
seemed a little tame though. She was kind of moving.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That
she wasn't really like,
she doesn't really
her
have
thing.
Her dance moves anymore.
I know. That's what I think. No, she has them. I think she's just chilling. She's like 50 something. Good for her.
Yeah,
whatever.
She
looked amazing.
But how much sex was going on during the football? football extravaganzas. I don't think very much.
Why?
But I think there was maybe a lot of hooking up afterwards.
Why do you think? Because everyone's drunk?
I was, before the game even started, I was walking around the city, and you would think it was Las Vegas. Like, everybody had beers in hand. Everyone was, holding six bags, just walking around. And I saw, like, some beautiful women right outside the bar, and they're just, like, chopping it up, already super wasted, talking to guys and stuff like that.
Nightmare.
I'm like, oh, all these people are going to be hooking up after.
Yeah, probably. After the game. There's probably a lot of hooking up. However, did not. But I understand that people do. And the thought of being at a bar, though, with people watching a game and yelling, it smells like beer, makes me hate that.
Yeah.
So not my scene.
I do want to remind everyone, although, awesome. Super Bowl is obviously a holiday for many people and gets people very excited. And excitability of any kind can lead to people wanting to hook up or have sex with their partners or whatever.
Right.
But I just want to remind everybody, you don't have to get drunk to have sex.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just want to remind people.
Because
there are people who
that.
Forget that.
Menace forgets that sometimes.
Sometimes
Menace, being in an alcohol-soaked environment is conducive. But then you don't necessarily have the best sex, nor do you have the best recollection of the sex you had, which, if it wasn't that good, maybe is a blessing. But on the other hand, don't you want to keep track of yourself when you're doing these things? I would think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just a sexologist talking here.
I'm working on it with Menace.
I was building a table while the Super Bowl was going on.
Okay, so you weren't
saws?
A table set. No, I was just like screwing everything together.
And screwing things. You were still screwing things.
Yeah, I made two. It wasn't IKEA. It was Target. And had some chairs and everything. I got blisters on my hand. I was working so hard.
Oh, that's
but
hot.
That was my Super Bowl time.
Okay.
While everyone else was partying.
Sounds
good. I was
making
a table.
I was at a party where I was only going to stop by for 5 minutes. I stayed for an hour and a half, but I ended up working on my laptop the whole time, so I kind of missed the game.
So everyone thought you were a downer because
everyone
was
partying?
Kind of.
They know me. It was like my best friends. Like, there was a really fun party. I'm like, hi, guys, love you, mean it. Got to go to the table. I had to get this thing done. But okay, let's move into some emails.
All right.
Okay. Dear Emily, I stumbled upon your podcast last night, downloaded a bunch, and literally spent the last 9 hours today listening, laughing, and nodding my head in agreement. I'm fortunate enough to have a job where I sit at a microscope grading diamonds and can veg out with headphones on. My boyfriend of a few years tinkers on the verge of sex addiction, and I'm lucky enough that he's addicted to having it with just me. But sometimes it's overwhelming, and I feel a lot of pressure to have sex just to meet his needs and keep him happy. I enjoy sex, but don't need it nearly as often as he does, and it sometimes creates a lot of anxiety. We've talked it out many times. We're pretty good at the communication is a lubrication. But how do you come to a compromise when one person wants it once a day and the other person wants it once a week, if that? I feel like this issue of sex is the only roadblock we've consistently come to every few months, and I'm not sure what to do. I could just suck it up and get down and dirty more often, but I feel that I wouldn't be doing it for the right reasons. And in the end, I might resent him for getting it his way. Any suggestions? Love your show and can't wait for another full day of you on Monday. There's no name attached. Anonymous.
Well, thank you for finding the show.
Thank you so much for finding
it. I wonder how you found it, what you were typing in.
Oh, yeah. We always want to know when you email us. We want to know. Yeah, exactly. How'd you find the show? But how you listened to us and how you found us. Just let us know. So what do you think about this? I'm sure you talk a lot about like sex addiction and the mismatched libidos. And what would you say, Carol?
Well,
Carol Queen.
I think in my world that wanting to have sex once a day is not necessarily sex addiction. It's,
right.
It's being in the throes of heavy desire relatively early in a relationship.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't sound like this person has been with this person for 15 or 20 years.
Right, exactly.
It's a little newer than that. And
a few years they've been together.
And I think that while people should not have sex when they don't want to have sex, I also think that encouraging partner to take things well in hand and maybe, buying him a special toy for the purpose or something like that so that he knows he's got your blessing, and really trying to bring your desire when you can and not just do it for the wrong reasons, but also it sounds like she feels like he's getting his needs met. And she's not feeling like she's getting her
needs
met.
Exactly. Exactly.
I want to know what she would like to be doing differently that boyfriend and she are not doing, And I would like to see more of that in bed. And then I think she'd like going to bed quicker. This right, is exactly. one of the most common issues that sex therapists see in couples is desire discrepancy. It's so,
discrepancy.
So common.
Exactly. Mismet, like, right. How do you – and it is all about talking. She says they're good at talking, but maybe they're just not having the right conversation about what she needs. Okay. Thank you. I agree. Okay. Kegel exercises. So funny story. I found out about the Kegel on my own. I was having sex and I'm the farthest from unresponsive. I tense up a lot and my guy loved it. It took me a while to be able to control it, but with practice, I'm now able to tighten around him whenever I feel like it. We've kind of made it a game. He'll fully penetrate me and at 9 inches, it's bliss. I'll tighten around him and he jerks inside me. We keep doing this until one of us can't control ourselves anymore. It's really spice of our sex life. I hope this helps. Savon King from Modesto. She's been retweeting us a lot for the contest. Yeah, we were probably talking about Kegels because of Kegel Camp. I have an app for the iPhone called Kegel Camp. It reminds you. Oh, we have an update. It's updating next week. We have an update. Everyone, there's been some issues with Kegel Camp. Not issues, just people wanted updates. They wanted more levels. They wanted more challenges. And we are re-releasing it next week on iTunes. You will get updates or you can just buy it.
So it tells people when it's time to do their Kegels?
Yes. It actually
so
says,
great.
It says time for Kegel Camp. And it's a really cool app. I'll show it to you. And then it's my voice walking you through, like, tense, relax.
Oh, you have it
tense.
On your phone?
Yeah, I finally got it.
Really?
I just got an iPhone.
You know how long she had her app out and without it, an iPhone? It
wow.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow. That is a fabulous
camp,
thing.
See? How do you make it talk right away, Menace, when you do that?
Branded you. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah, it's fun. So anyway, Kegels are important. Kegels are so important for men and women. And it's amazing how many men, because people are like, oh, that's for women. But men can really, I mean, all the time, men can, men can improve from doing Kegels. What was that, me? So they,
relax.
That's how it sounds.
That's how it sounds. Okay, thanks, Menace. Appreciate it. See? Relax. Okay.
That is
anyway.
Awesome.
Yeah, you guys start telling people.
I'm so glad that you're telling people to relax, not just to squeeze down. Because if all you do is just tense a muscle, you don't get the full function of the muscle.
But I'm not BSing people. I mean, how much can Kegel exercises help men, for example?
They can make a difference in how firm the erection a man gets might be. They can probably make some difference, if not a lot of difference, in how long a guy can last.
Yes.
How much control he has.
Yes.
And one of the things about Kegels that is a little bit – I mean, we talk about that kind of stuff. It's the degree of strength of squeeze of those muscles when you have an orgasm. That's the Kegel muscles that you're feeling pulsing during orgasm. So if you have wussy little orgasms, it's almost certainly – like if you don't have any orgasms at all, there may be more going on than just Kegels.
Right.
But if you're having wussy little orgasms, Kegels are one of the main things that you could do to improve them. That and go longer in your stimulation before you actually come.
Right, exactly.
Extend the time that you actually stimulate.
They're amazing. I'm going to start doing my own Kegel camp now
that
I have
the iPhone.
Let's do now. One.
All right, listeners. Let's do them.
Let's do them. Tense. Relax. Okay, we'll move on. Emily, can't tell you how much I love your show. In fact, I think I'm totally addicted. I listen through iTunes podcast in my car on the way to work each day. Far more informative and entertaining than the crap on the radio we get down under. Just had to write as I listened to the January 31st bittersweet show that was all over the place at the start, which was fantastic and totally entertaining. And then one of the most moving moments I've ever experienced as you read the message from a listener that had sex with his wife for the last time. It was truly moving. In fact, I had tears rolling down my face whilst driving, and I really felt for you and Menace having to do it live. The show was cut short, which I think was appropriate and honorable. I thank you for your commitment, your dedication, and most of all, your connection with your listeners. You are truly magnificent. That's so sweet. All the best. Andrew from Queensland, Australia. He's a Friends with Benefits member. We so appreciate that.
That's awesome.
P.S. Menace rocks.
Thank you.
And always keeps it real. You guys make an amazing team. Keep up the outstanding work. So we had this email, Carol, last week, and it was very touching, and I hadn't read it, the full email, beforehand. I'm going to admit it. I was just reading it, and this guy said that he was listening to my show. His wife had cancer, and he had been listening to my show about the – it was from years ago – about the top turn-ons for men and women. And I was said something about, like, striptease, I think, was one of them. And he said, well, it was for men who wanted the striptease, but I did it for her. And he did a striptease for her, and it was the last time they had sex, and it was really good sex, and then – and then she died, and so we were reading it, and we were like, oh, we didn't know. It's sad.
I know.
But bittersweet.
I know. But
So,
but
okay.
Yeah. Thanks. Oh, and then can I say something real quick? On Friday, once in a while I do these things on Twitter and I say, hey, for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to reply to every single message that I get. And
okay.
Last Friday, I had a ton of Sex with Emily listeners hit me up.
Really? So, what'd they say? What'd they ask you?
They're just asking me about you and about the show and stuff like that. So it was really cool. So anytime I do that, feel free to send
me a
message.
What'd they ask you? Give me an example.
That was on Friday. Gosh, you think I can remember it?
I don't know.
Oh, how come the same question? How come you and I don't date? Oh, how's Emily in real life? See, it's all about what they said about her, not about.
Well, honey, it's my ego. It helps.
Yes.
Okay.
You love it. Yeah, you should do that too. Just
that's a good thing to do.
Just if you're sitting at the computer, to say, hey, I'm going to reply back to every single message for the next 30 minutes.
And how many do you got? Tons?
Like, yeah,
really? That's amazing. Okay.
Yeah. It's really fun.
I like it.
It's
like Q&A.
Yeah.
Okay. Carol, this keeps coming up. Anal sex question. I just thought you'd be the right person.
Anal sex is so hot right now. really. In the media and stuff like that. It is.
Why?
It's in. It's so in. Like my friend just said, anal's a new blowjob. And I was like, well, I mean, they're both around.
I don't know about all that, but.
No, but it's in the sense of it's like, and it's been a few years out.
Yeah.
People talking about it, people questioning, people wanting to know. Like, I was with a friend in Michigan, and, you know, people in Michigan are a little more conservative. And he was like, well, what's this? He's just newly divorced after married for 15 years. And he's like, I have one question for you. Why do all the girls want anal sex? He's like, I don't get it. So all the women. So what are your suggestions? Like, first of all, what do you think that is? Do you think it's pornography? Do you think it's, I mean, it's been around, obviously.
It certainly has been around. I think probably
like
for
a new thing.
Millennia.
Exactly.
And of course, almost everyone has an anus, and
right?
The anus is richly surrounded and with nerve endings. So there are many reasons why people like anal sex, and one of them actually is because for some people it's an alternative method of birth control.
Right.
Want to say while I'm saying that it's not necessarily a safer sex form of birth control,
right?
Depending on what kind of cooties one person might have and give to the other, that's always a possibility.
Not to cut you off, but that's so funny that you say that because I never believe this, but there's a huge rumor that in Brazil, like Brazilian women, they will like let you have anal sex with them, but you can't do
regular sex because
regular
it's not,
sex
right.
because
I've heard
know,
that
they won't do it before
I've
marriage
heard it
and
other
stuff
places.
Like that.
I've heard about that in other places too, and yeah. that is almost certainly you know, probably not ubiquitous in some cultures, but it's
right.
you see it, and you see it in the U.S. too. In
the U.S., I hear it's reversed. They call it the marriage hole. The way they save it for marriage.
Is that one of those, you'll put a ring on it and then
you'll put a thing in it.
Funny. That's funny.
This is what I hear on the streets. That's
well,
what.
And I also think that
the streets, yeah.
there's a good deal of just sort of social buzz that happens around sexuality. Always did. I think it's partly porn. But
right.
I don't think that's only porn. I think that individual people sort of watching porn solo or maybe in their couples don't all like sort of light on fire with something all at the same time, because there's been a lot of anal sex in porn for
yeah,
at least 20 years.
Exactly.
So it's not like somebody just started to put lots of anal sex in porn. It's been there.
Okay. So what are your suggestions for trying it out for the first time? Let's say a man and a woman. We'll start with that.
Well, I think that this is actually what I'm about to say is going to be relevant for any gender combination or even
okay.
somebody deciding that they
exactly.
want to party by themselves
and
at home.
Bend over boyfriend, Carol, I want to get into that too because
yeah.
Carol's infamous yeah. for a bend over boyfriend.
Yes.
Yes.
Let me start by saying that there are three main things to think about when you're thinking about starting to do anal sex or even, you know, you've done it before, but you're going to do it again.
Right.
And one of them is that the person who is being inserted into anally has got to be relaxed. The
right.
anus does tighten up. Many people have heard that anal sex always hurts. And in fact, a lot of porn, like written porn and stuff, and some porn that you would see in video-wise, tries to just sort of take that and turn it into an erotic plot.
Right.
Point and make it be hot in an SM kind of way. That's
right.
that's not what I would recommend ever.
Right. Okay.
If you want to have pain that's hot in an SM kind of way, great. But learn how to do it without pain first, because pain with anal sex is a signal that there is some damage happening. If something's going wrong.
Right.
It's not supposed to hurt badly at all.
Okay.
So one of the ways that you can guarantee that it will be that will hurt less is by using enough lubricant.
Lube.
And
lots of lube
is not spit. I've met some people who just get some lube.
Spice.
Get some lube.
Right.
And don't get one of those little tiny packages of lube. Get a darn bottle of lube.
Right. With like a pump on it or something.
And
I love the pump lubes.
The pump lubes are great.
I got a gasoline truck.
Nice.
To my house later.
You know, they should actually make a lube dispenser that looks like a little gasoline truck. That would be so butch. That would be so cute. Some inventor go with that. I think that would be adorable. Then communicate with your partner. Don't just do the silent sex thing. So many people have sex in complete silence, you know, in the most communication they get is little grunts or moans or, you know, people trying to stop you from going so fast by moving their body in such a way that it's harder to do it. That's communication, but it's not adequate for this. To do it right, to do it with pleasure for both parties, talk about it. Let the person who is being inserted into say when to go faster, when to stop. And the other thing to think about is that you're not sticking a body part or toy or whatever into another person's butt. They're putting their butt onto the body part, finger, or toy, or whatever it is.
Right.
They're relaxing.
You gotta relax.
You bear down a little bit, and then it just sort of fits together in a way that if you try to poke in, there is a reflex that just goes and just tightens down.
So how do you relax? Breathe.
You breathe.
Deep breaths.
If you are freaked out about cleanliness, you take a bath and or you take a rinse before you do it so that you don't have to be all paranoid about is it dirty, is it dirty.
Right.
Because some people care about that very much and can't relax. Do this bearing down thing because while you're breathing out and bearing down, you can't be tense. So that is, breath is a very important part of this.
I would say.
And again, if you're too cold, if you're in the backseat of the car and a cop's walking up towards you, I mean, if anything that makes you tense and nervous, try to make that not be what you do, especially the first time, but really the 100th time too.
Okay.
It makes such a difference. And people who love anal sex really love it. But if you start it out wrong, you know, maybe it's the marriage hole, but you're not going to get a lot of play with it.
Exactly.
If you are too eager, too busy, and you don't think about how you're approaching the person.
Okay. That sounds good. Right, Menace?
Yeah, it does.
You ready to do it?
Well,
not
all
with
the
me.
Time. No.
What about, okay, so Carol created, it's a DVD, right, first, called Bend Over Boyfriend. It's infamous. It was probably the first video that was ever created about.
I think so,
or one
actually.
Of them, or the most popular,
certainly
most done.
Certainly the first sex ed video.
Right, for sex ed videos about penetrating a man anally.
Right.
Which isn't as, you know, common in heterosexual
couples.
It's
getting popular,
Well, yeah.
Did you make it popular?
I think partly the fact that the video was around helped inspire lots of people to try it.
Lots of people.
But if people weren't interested in doing that at all, they would not have gotten the video unless they were in frats and wanted to, you know, show it to the new recruits and laugh and scare them. I mean, there was interest already. We knew because you said that I made it, but I didn't produce it.
Okay.
The people who produced it were Jackie Strano and Char Rednauer.
Okay.
And we all worked at Good Vibrations together in the mid-90s.
Wow.
This is the backstory of it. And over and over again, male-female couples would come up and look at the harnesses and dildos and ask for help and say, is there a book about this? Or is there a video about this? And there was no book or video. So the people at the store maybe didn't start their jobs thinking lots of the guys in America wanted to get done up the bum. But it turned out that plenty of guys already had that idea.
Right.
And it just so happened that my partner and I already had that experience.
Right.
And my partner is one of the biggest anal sex lecturer, teacher, expert.
Is he really?
Partisan guys in the universe and has been doing this kind of teaching for decades now. And so Char and Jackie and Robert and I talked about whether or not we could put together this movie, and we did. And the lesbian porn company Fatale was the company that actually brought it out.
Wow. Oh, that's so
funny. It's boy butts through a lesbian company, which seems perfect somehow.
Yeah, somehow it works.
Funny, great way. And we found a couple of other couples who wanted to check it out, do it too. Actually, we put one of the two couples together that wanted to try. And then the other one was a real life couple. And Bend Over Boyfriend was for years the best-selling sex video at Good Vibrations.
Wow. That's amazing.
There was more going on out there than we knew.
How do you get your partner so if a guy's not interested in it, let's say, but you think it could – a lot of men, let's say straight men, are not interested in it. Like they think, no, it's horrible. It's horrible. But what would you say the benefits are?
Well, the benefits are, one, pleasure.
Right.
The prostate
is could be missing.
The prostate is best addressed and accessed through anal penetration, and the prostate is a pleasure part of the body, and it's comparable to the G-spot. It's homologous, as we sexologists like to say.
Homologous. I love it.
It's a homolog. But that does not mean it's homo, which is another reason I think that some guys are worried.
That's
I think that there's this
– I think they're missing out.
There's this association with sexual orientation that the behavior – people think that gay men have anal sex, therefore any anal sex on a man is gay. And of course, gay is about the gender of the partner that you do what you do with. And if the partner gender of the partner is male and you're man, then that you could probably call gay or bi, certainly. And if the gender of the partner is female, then that is called heterosexuality. Frisky heterosexuality, perhaps, but it's straight to do if the person doing it with you or to you is female. So there you have it. That's what it –
exactly.
That's the deal. Plus this thing about, it's going to hurt, it's going to hurt. If you do it right, no, it doesn't.
It's not going to hurt, right. Lots of lube. And it's male prostate. Like you might be missing out on this whole experience, man. It's this whole unbelievable earth-shattering experience that you never had.
Yeah, but I don't think it should be forced on anybody. If
somebody's
into it.
No.
Yeah, but I'm not into it. But you keep on trying to sell it to me like you're selling me a used car like your ex-boyfriend.
No, you know, you can't really
–
you can't really force – you can't really – you can't successfully force any kind of anal penetration on another person.
Yeah.
You can't do it in such a way that the person will voluntarily want to come back and do it again.
Right.
And, you know, any other kind is somewhere on the abuse-rape continuum. The best you can say for it is a couple of people who didn't know enough how to do it right did it wrong the first time, and it probably wasn't as good as it could have been.
Right.
That's the very best you can say for a situation like that. And the good thing is there is so much pleasure available and there is so many resources to help people do it.
So many, right.
That if somebody doesn't want to do it, then they don't want to do it. And then you go, okay.
Right.
But I think for women who do want to talk guys into it, there are a couple of things that they could say. Do you want to try this kind of pleasure that you've never tried before is one. Don't you want to know what it feels like for me?
Right.
And I want to be able to share the experience of what it's like. And many couples find that that's super intimate, super hot.
Right.
And, of course, probably some guys don't want to know how it feels.
Right.
It's a great thing to know how it feels, but
– yeah, some guys are like, no, thanks. You could take that. I'm not going to go there.
Dr. Jack Morin, who is a local therapist who wrote the book on anal sex, anal pleasure and health.
Okay.
Very first resource like this that ever was, wrote in the very early 80s, did some research and found that pretty much anybody can have good pleasurable anal sex if they personally want to.
Right.
If they are doing it to please someone else or they don't want to, the psychology that gets you to be able to relax just doesn't come into play because they'll be tense, nervous, worried, tense down, pain.
Exactly.
You know, and that will be a vicious circle.
Okay. Not to get off the anal sex subject real quick, but you were talking about Good Vibrations in the early 90s, and it just struck me. Did you – you might not even heard of this person, but the artist Krayshawn. Her mother worked for Good Vibrations in the 90s.
Really?
So she's a popular musician.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Do you know what her mom's name was?
No, oh, I'm sure if I went online right now.
Yeah, I could try to figure that out. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's funny because she does a lot of interviews and people bring this up.
That's so
and
cool.
She talks
so funny.
About,
I had never
that.
Heard that.
She was a kid in the warehouse doing homework and stuff like that. Her mom worked at Good Vibrations.
I probably walked past this kid at some point.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
She's a very popular musician.
I love
so
good
I'll look
vibes.
About it when we go into
they're
the
awesome.
Subject, and I'll try to pull up her mom's name.
Okay,
so
well,
cool.
I have another question. Well, we're going to wrap up in a few, but this is a question. I had some questions on Facebook. I asked some people, what would you want to talk to Carol Queen? And this is a question that comes up a lot. So, I think it's a good one. If you are used to vanilla sex but want to try something new, how do you move outside your comfort zone with your partner or without your partner in general?
Well, I think that one of the things you do is you research a little bit the kinds of things that you might want to try.
Right.
You don't just, you know, stick a personal ad somewhere and say, hey, I've never done kinky stuff. Come on, do kinky stuff to me, because you don't know who and what you get when you do that. So you read some erotica, you check out the how-to books and the videos that suggest different kinds of ways to play, and just, you know, do the response test of when you're watching or reading this stuff, go, what really turns you on
exactly.
the most?
What turns you on? What do you remember? What's like getting your blood boiling?
If you got a partner already, share that material with them. Go, oh my God, watch this. I responded, I thought this was so sexy when I watched this. And then you've either got an enthusiastic partner who goes, oh wow, that's hot too. Let's figure out how to do it. Or you've got somebody who doesn't necessarily, but at least you've got some communication rolling. And sometimes people who want to try new things set up a little tit-for-tat thing with their partners and go, well, what would you want to try? What do I want to try? Let's try both of those things.
Yeah, exactly. It's like just talking about it and having that dialogue. It's like sitting down and being, okay, what's your fantasy? What have you thought about?
Your very first writer, in fact, the one who doesn't want to have sex as often. I mean, that's one thing that she could try with her partner.
Right, exactly.
It's like, hey, what if we have sex the way we usually do it half the time, and we have this other kind of sex that I've been thinking about the other half the time.
And it does help to bring in other materials or whatever it is, you know, if it's porn, erotica, whatever it is, to figure out if you don't know. She might be like, well, I don't really know, but I just know that I'm not getting what I want, which I think of how a lot of people feel. Like,
yeah.
They're like, I know there's more to this, or I could be getting more, but I'm not sure. It's like, just explore and see what hits you.
If you're in a place where there are classes, take classes.
Right.
You know, Good Vibes has classes. The Center for Sex and Culture that I direct has classes.
Center for Sex and Culture. Oh, that's another thing. Carol direct, spearheaded, started, founder of the Center for Sex and Culture.
And if they live in a city, there is some kind of kinky group, or a lot of times the kinky people have events called munches. If you look up
munches,
like lunch or brunch with an M on the front. That's sort of the
munches.
Meetup, and it usually happens at
is.
A cafe or something. So you're safe. You're in public. There's a, you know, the side room of the cafe. All of a sudden, all the kinky people go in there and just meet each other and, you know, order a little coffee.
At every town, you can find the munches, the munchers,
and just. Look around to see if there are people around who are into some things that you're not into, and maybe there's a whole infrastructure of parties and classes and people to meet. And
right. Once you meet one or few people, you just get into it. It'll happen.
And
you
if you live in a smaller town that doesn't have that kind of stuff, think about where you're going to travel next time you go on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. San Francisco. Come to San Francisco. Manus, did you have one more question?
No.
Okay. I think we're done.
Yeah.
Carol Queen. So nice having you on the show. What's the best website for you?
Well, people
you
can
have a lot
ask
of
me questions.
Okay,
if they,
perfect.
I know people want to ask you questions,
no,
of course.
Ask
but if
Carol
anybody
questions.
does want to, you know, get a Q&A
kind
of a thing with me, I do it on the Good Vibes website, goodvibes.com.
Okay.
You take the left-hand toolbar. You scroll all the way down until you get to Ask Our Docs.
Okay.
And Charlie Glickman and I are PhDs who spend some of our time answering questions.
Right.
And if people want to come to events at Good Vibes, those are on the top toolbar all the way to the right under Sex 101, and you can find out where the stores are and what's going
okay.
on. Charlie and I teach at the stores all the time. And then I'm often at the Center for Sex and Culture, and then I bounce around and next week I'm going to Boston University, Yale, and Harvard.
Fun.
And
you came here
talking
first.
To some smart students about
sex. Oh, my God. Well, you're warming up with not so smart students.
you all are
no,
super
we're
smart.
Awesome.
And I really love hearing from your listeners. It's wonderful.
Good. I'm so glad. Thank you for helping. And thank you for being here, Carol.
You bet. You know,
so
there
great.
Was a time when there was not that much out there for people who had questions and were curious and wanted to hear some good wholesome sex talk.
Good
and
wholesome
thanks
sex.
For
that's
helping
what we try to do every day.
Happen.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you, Menace.
Thank you.
It's great to see you today.
You too.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.